Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 17th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Ranger Suarez, 9 innings, 0 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. Yes, that is the second complete game shutout of the year. Of course, Ronel Blanco's no-hitter was one of those. Ah, Ranger Suarez, this is so wonderful, and it was also against the Rockies on the road. I wonder if the Phillies actually were like, hey, yo, let's just throw curveballs against them. Aaron Nola did great yesterday, and Ranger Suarez used this as his second most thrown pitch. Sinkers weren't that good. Changeups, cutters weren't that great. Yeah, this is a Vargas rule. He goes into Cincinnati next, and honestly, I'm not a huge fan of that for Ranger Suarez, but honestly, if you want to just Vargas rule, which means we drop when there isn't a good start, then okay, so good luck. Hopefully that works out. Reynaldo Lopez against the Astros, 6 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. That's absolutely gorgeous. His four-seamer was up in arm side really well, and he split it up against the sliders that were down in glove side. Like, he actually had fantastic pitch separation, not up-down necessarily, but really diagonally, and it's awesome. If you have an option to get Reynaldo Lopez off the wire still, I actually had some questions in chat about that today. Yes, I would certainly do that. Jared Jones is dope and makes us feel dope. Yes, he is the Spencer Strider for a worse team, as I've been saying since spring training. And that was his ceiling. That was his best comp. And what do you know? He's actually pulling this off. And for those that are upset that he was pulled at 59 pitches through 5 innings, honestly, I get it. The Pirates aren't really that competitive. Yes, they lost that game and all of that. Look, pitching is attrition. That's what Steven Lineman says, and because he's really smart and amazing. He's right. So why overthrow this? You should just be happy that they are lowering the risk of injury for you. That's good. That means you'll have more Jared Jones this year. Kyle Hurt opened for the Dodgers in an MLB debut, but whatever. It was for Ryan Yarbrough, who did his thing, getting a vulture win, and that's cool for everybody involved. Lance Lynn did well against the Oakland Athletics, got the win in 7 innings and 1 run and 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Absolutely wild. We don't really want to go after Lance Lynn. Logan Gilbert did well, got the win, 6.2 innings and 1 run against the Reds on the road. 4 base runners, 6 hits. I don't think that Logan Gilbert is really being everything that we want him to be. 8 whiffs in this, 30% CSW. I think this is a lot of blaming on the Reds. The splitter didn't really look that good, but the cutter is helping. The slider was all right. The four seamer was in the zone, but I think there is going to be some volatility if he's not really commanding all this stuff effectively around the zone. Like right now, it just feels like he's okay. Cool, it's a cutter. All right, whew, oh there it is. Good, it's in the zone. Right, it's not a surgical procedure as he goes through at-bats. John Gray against the Tigers did exactly what you wanted. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 7 Ks. Okay, fine. He didn't get the win because Casey Mize was dope on the other side. We'll talk about that in a moment. As far as Gray goes, yeah, the four-seamer's down to 93, 94, not like 95, 96. And his slider was good as it has been. This was really blaming on the Tigers. If you want to go with John Gray again versus the Mariners, by all means, but I don't really think that's something you need to hold on to. And if there's another option, I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I mean, that's not a bad start. I'm tempted to even put it at the bottom of probable. It'll probably be the top of questionable. But yeah, that's where it is with John Gray. Yusei Kikuchi against the Yankees. He's just looking great ever since he said, you know what, I don't care about the new changeup anymore like he did in his first start. He said, fine, I'm going to go back to the same exact approach that worked for me last year. And yeah, it's working even more so this start. Yusei Kikuchi's four-seamer actually was in the top third of the zone. Like, yes, that's the thing we want, and it was good. Yeah, he had 9 strikeouts and 5 base runners in 6 innings. Just 1 earned run against the Yankees for a win. It was really, really nice, and he's killing us 3 straight now that he's rolling. There is still some command floor that I hope doesn't show up, but yeah, right now we're feeling good. Dylan Cease against the Brewers got the win. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 5 walks, 7 Ks. Those end of the day ratios, 1.17 whip, totally cool, right? 7 Ks, 1 earned run, everything's fine. Like, great, actually. Obviously, you see the 5 walks and you go, is this going to be a problem? And it has in the past. And I am really excited to see the new cutter show up again. 2 were thrown. He had sliders all underneath 90 miles per hour, except for two on Savant that were labeled still as a slider. But those are cutters with dramatically different vertical break and also at 94 each. Now, I am a little curious as to his approach with it. That is, both of them missed up and inside to a lefty, or really like up at the very least to a lefty. One was a called strike that wasn't. And my thought process is, well, Dylan Cease, actually, if you're throwing this cutter, which is great, don't try to locate it. Just get it in the zone. I'm not even kidding. Like Kodai Senga's cutter, that isn't supposed to be like a precise, hey, up and in jam pitch, right? It's really just supposed to be a strike. And to save those walks, you just need strikes. This is different from your fastball and different from your slider. It's enough of a surprise pitch. If you throw like 10 of these in those moments that you need one, like a 1-0 count or a 2-0 or something like that, 2-1, that is where these will come into handy if you're not trying to make it, you know, precise around the zone. So I hope to see more of that. The fact that it didn't show up for one game and disappear completely is cool. And hopefully we get more of it in the future. Jose Quintana against the Pirates, 5 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 3 walks in, 4 strikeouts. I mean, yeah, that's fine. The Pirates are kind of decent as a team. He gets the Giants next, and the Giants are pretty bad. So I think Jose Quintana, you're totally fine with it. It was a game of his four-seamer just like not really working. And his sinker and curve and change were very hittable in the zone. But yeah, you're okay with the Giants next. It's going to be top of questionable for Jose Quintana. Tanner Bibee, oh boy, 5 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. So cool. All right, good. This is in Fenway. His fastball velocity is up to 95. Man, his slider, sub 50% strike rate, which is just, ooh, you can't do that. Changeup was like all over the place. I'm glad that the heater velocity is back. That was obviously a problem because it already is a very hittable fastball, and this going down to 93 just makes it even worse. So at the very least, now he gets the Red Sox again, but not in Fenway. It's in Cleveland. I'm still cautious here on Tanner Bibee. I think you're going to start him if you have him. He'll be in probable start, but oh man, I just want him to, I don't know, nail down that secondary command, please, and not have such a hittable fastball, but yeah, at least it's back in 95. JP Sears against the Cardinals after doing this amazing thing against the Rangers. Went 5 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 2 strikeouts. So that sweeper is what happened last time, where it was all over the zone and it got him all these strikes. And this time it went 0 for 28 whiffs. while his four seamer isn't really getting whiffs either, only 5 total for everything across his arsenal. JP Sears is just not it. This is so volatile. PL Bot and Nick Pollock both had the same streaming pick yesterday, which was the far little roster, the ignored Jose Soriano, who had a start against the Rays last week. He had a tough first inning with some ridiculousness, and essentially went like 1 earned run in 5 innings after that. And in this one, guess what? He went 1 inning and 5 earned runs with 1 hit, 5 walks, and 6 Ks. What does he do? He throws 99.6 on his four-seamer with a heavy, 97-plus sinker and a curveball that went 56% CSW here. There were many that were taken for strikes. I think it was 10 called strikes. He just kind of threw these into the zone. And the Angels obliged. Sorry, the Rays obliged. But his sinker went 41% strikes. Oh, no. I want him to be like Jordan Hicks of just throwing this hard-to-hit sinker in the zone enough, like 60%+ of the time. And then if you have a curveball that you can get 56% CSW with, that's a better Jordan Hicks, right? So, oh man, he threw a 100.9 mile per hour four seamer and it went 2 for 29 whiffs. So I don't know how much I love this. On one side, it's Jose Soriano throwing these really hard to hit sinkers, and that's cool with a curveball that seems like it's dependable. On the other, it's obviously hittable with his four-seamer, and his control isn't quite there. He's going to Cincinnati next. I don't know. Also, we can depend on a 56% CSW on your curveball to get you out of this as well. So I think that's a questionable start, and then he gets the Twins after that, which is a little bit more appealing. And that's where we're at with Jose Soriano. Not the worst pickup right now. I mean, this could be something, especially if he gets that sinker in the zone consistently. We have other guys to talk about, of course, today, and we're going to talk about all of them after this break. So Hunter Green is a guy that, like Jared Jones, throws four seamers and sliders. He went against Seattle, four innings, one earned run, four hits, three walks, and eight strikeouts. And if you look at the difference between Hunter Green and Jared Jones, I did this in the roundup yesterday, I think it's so interesting. Hunter Green needed 98 pitches to get through 12 outs or four innings. Jared Jones needed 59 pitches to go through five innings or 15 outs. So their pitches per out here was 3.93 for Jared Jones, so under four pitches for every out earned. And for Hunter Green, it was 8.17. Efficiency is the market inefficiency. I almost wrote that last night, but then I realized I say like everything is the market inefficiency, so fine. But command is the market inefficiency, which essentially is efficiency being the market inefficiency. We don't see guys going eight innings, 90 pitches anymore, right? It doesn't happen because we're not efficient. We're going out of the zone more with secondaries, which I like, but I think it's interesting to see this and realize that, right, the Red Sox pitchers aren't going so deep into games. Why is that? They're not throwing as many fastballs, which is a higher strike pitch. So focus on strikes. And it's why strike minus ICR rate is a really, really good stat to follow when it comes to effectiveness and just overall efficiency. ICR meaning, are these pitches limiting hits or not? And then strikes, of course, are you being efficient, right? Are you not throwing balls? So I think that we're going to be focusing a little bit more on efficiency in the future because we're hitting a point where so many pitchers are capable of this stuff. So many have filthy sliders and are able to throw over 95. Then the difference maker becomes, okay, are you Jared Jones versus Hunter Green? Right? Cool. Casey Mize versus the Rangers. Six innings, two earned runs, five hits, zero walks, and six Ks. A little bit more efficient. Seven whiffs, 27% CSW, and 95 pitches in this one. Much better. I mean, early on, not as great with the four-seamer locations, but then he really got into it, going upstairs a ton. Lots of slider strikes. They were in the zone a ton this time as opposed to being out of the zone before. And he hasn't found that groove of, okay, cool, this is my slider for a strike. Okay, cool, this is my slider for a whiff yet. He did have some good splitters here too that looked really nasty. And that, it's a much better version of Mize. He did this against the Rangers, which is great. He gets the Twins and Royals for the next two. I want to believe that this is going in the right direction. It's not quite there yet. I know you see that and go, what are you talking about, Nick? Well, seeing seven whiffs and 27% CSW, and he got away with a decent amount in this. But for the most part, the fastball locations were grooving in there, getting slider strikes, puts him in a place to have this start. And I like him. I think he can be. This is kind of the guy I saw in the beginning in the spring. I was like, yes, this is your six inning guy. I want a little bit more dominance with the fastball, just like a little bit more as well. So I got a good question today about Mize and Jared Jones. I mean, obviously Jared Jones. I think it was someone else involved there. Oh, Kikuchi, Eric Cabrera, these guys. Kikuchi's first, Mize is second, Eric Cabrera is third, but it's very close with Eric Cabrera. The ceiling is clearly there for Cabrera. We can't buy into the consistency quite yet. While Mize, I think, is going to be a little bit more of a safety net when it comes to just innings and quality starts and stuff, but doesn't quite have the same ceiling, I think, than Eric Cabrera as he focused it. Okay, cool. We have Grayson Rodriguez against the Twins. Still can't command his changeup, but whatever, got the win. Who cares? We move on. I can't wait until he does, though, at some point. Hunter Brown, is this a redemption start? Going against Atlanta, going six innings and 200 runs. Oh my gosh, eight base runners, 3 Ks. I mean, no, he bounced all of his secondaries because he said, you know what? All those loud hits last time, so I'm just going to bounce these so that doesn't happen again. And his four-seamer was very much upstairs. It nibbled the zone just enough. Yeah, this is a guy who he was pitching scared and it worked, but I'm not in now. I mean, like, this is not enough at all. Ryan Weathers, man, he got the golden goal, 19 whiffs and 43% CSW and 90 pitches, six innings, two earned runs, five hits, one walk, and 10 strikeouts. Oh my gosh, Ryan Weathers against the Giants, though. The Giants got the win. Sweeper went 15 for 31 strikes. Not great. Okay, just a handful of whiffs there. Changeup was hung a ton He got lots of strikes, though, but it was hung a ton. And his four-seamer, yeah, 3 over 26 fastball whiffs is fine. It's like a 12% swing strike rate. It's not quite it. I'm sorry. Like, it all worked in this one. The Giants will do that, okay? I'm not a big fan of this still. I don't think, like, this is going to... I don't really think, like, this is the first step toward greatness for Ryan Weathers. I'm so sorry. I wish it is, though. But I think this is just a play on the Giants, and we're not going to like that start against the Cubs. Jordan Hicks against the Miami Marlins. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, 5 Ks. He did this with sub 50% strike rates on everything but the sinker. So once the slider, the sweeper, or the splitter actually start working, that's great. But is he going to lose the skill of sinkers for strikes first? I don't know. But that sinker is just so hard to hit. So it's a kind of nice floor here, honestly. And I think there's another ceiling to go to 6-7 innings when he actually throws enough sweeper strikes. Garrett Whitlock left his start early with an oblique injury, which is really unfortunate. They say he's not going to go on the IL. I don't know. I feel like he's going to go on the IL. Ugh, it stinks. Aaron Civale against the Angels did really well. That's cool. We're great. Everything's awesome. Austin Gomber, Cole Story, bro. Carlos Rodon against the Jays. He was at 95.7, but only 4 for 14 cutter strikes. And the four-seamer just is not overwhelming. Even at 95.7, it's still not. You know, 23% CSW overall on 101 pitches, 10 whiffs. Like, it's a Toby. Yeah, Wade Miley against the Padres, 3 innings, 3 runs. He only went 66 pitches here, 1 whiff and 18% CSW, but his game isn't whiffs against the Padres. 75-80 pitches next time from Miley against the Pirates. It's fine, but there's not much to chase here. Patrick Corbin against the Dodgers, no thanks. Tommy Henry against the Cubs, yeah, nope, that wasn't very good either. Kyle Hendricks, of course, not against the Arizona Diamondbacks. And Chris Paddock against the Orioles honestly did his best. 5.1 innings of 9 earned runs, 12 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. It's a much worse line than I think he pitched because he actually did get his split change down a good amount. So he gets the White Sox next. Don't rule it out just because this one was bad for Chris Paddock. All right, looking forward to today and tomorrow's game. I'm going to say tomorrow. Today's because we do have some changes. So we don't have Freddy Peralta. Today. We have Brady Singer in doubleheader. He's in probable start against the White Sox. You have an addition of Albert Suarez against the Minnesota Twins starting because Tyler Wells is on the IL. He's a do not start. I was amped for his first one, but not the ones that followed, of course. I was amped for his first spring training start is what I should say. And then he wasn't that good after. So, like, I'm excited about it, but I don't expect anything good here. Jonathan Canning is going against the Royals. That's also a do not start. And so is Bryce Wilson against the San Diego Padres. Looking forward to tomorrow's games. We only have a couple here. We got Logan Webb and Ryan Pepiot going. Both of those are auto starts as Webb gets the Diamondbacks and Pepiot gets the Angels. Probable start is Ryan Nelson against the Giants. The Giants look really bad. Ryan Nelson's throwing that hard four-seamer with a good cutter at 90-91, which is great. Quest will start. We have Jack Leiter at Detroit. Yes, I will be here live streaming on playback.tv for that start at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Come hang out and watch this start with me and watch my live reactions. It is so fun doing that with you guys. So Jack Leiter, it's a questionable start. He's looking really good. The Tigers looking really bad. I normally don't do MLB debuts, but what the heck, right? Spec ad, let's see what happens. Griffin Canning against the Rays. I don't think that Griffin Canning is that great. I don't think the Rays are that great. Griffin Canning's throwing softer as well as having secondary stuff that is very hittable over the plate. And then do not start here. Kenta Maeda against the Rangers. I just don't like it because he's too volatile. And the ceiling is too far away for me to really risk the low floor. Jameson Taillon against the Miami Marlins. He's coming back from the IL, but it's a still ill. Didn't look that great in his rehab start. You have AJ Puck against the Cubs. Maybe this is the start. Probably not. Cooper Criswell likely won't go very long. If he does, well, it's not that great as far as sinker, sweeper, and that's it. It's too pedestrian for me. And then you also have, this is also in Fenway, and of course, Carlos Carrasco on the other side of that in Fenway against the Red Sox. Absolutely not. That is it for today. Thank you all so, so much for listening to this podcast, for reviewing it on iTunes. Can't express enough. Individually, the feed, the Plus Pitch podcast feed, not the Pitchless Baseball one, the actual Plus Pitch podcast feed, ratings and reviews on theirs go so, so far for us. Thank you all who have done so. I'm looking forward to doing this, of course, every single day. Maybe not Sundays. I'm struggling so much to get these out on the weekends. We'll see. We'll get there. I hope I can get back to doing that. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low, and your strikeouts high.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.